The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, that that day might catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent, to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. In today's Gospel, Jesus is speaking of the end of time, when he will come again. And I am going to repeat myself. I've spoken about this the last couple weeks, and each year probably at this time. But we celebrate and believe in our theology that there's two comings of Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, there has been prophesied a terrible day, a day of judgment, a day that mortal humans may not survive to stand in the presence of the God who comes at the end of time to judge heaven and earth. It's called the Day of the Lord. There's also another prophecy about the coming of God's kingdom that's gentle. And Isaiah says that he, the Messiah, King of Peace, will not break a bruised reed or smother a wick of a candle, tiny flame. And so, in the two comings of Christ, God has fulfilled both these prophecies. For St. Peter tells us, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. And so we actually live in the end times already. That's part of what Jesus is telling his disciples. And those end times begin in a very gentle way. A child is born, hardly even noticed in the world, and grows and brings the kingdom of God like a mustard seed. And its fullness will come at the end of time. But the theology is that when its fullness does come, will we still be able to stand in its presence? Because when it comes, it's perfect justice, a perfect kingdom, and all those not in accord or of the same fabric are destroyed by its power. And so the test, the terrible day, is will we, by our lives, be able to stand in the presence of the Lord when that day comes? It's almost like it's a judgment by being in conformity with the kingdom. That's our theology, right? We can't stand in the presence of God and live because God is so holy. But if we become holier, then we can. And so the coming judgment at the end of time, a silly example. You've heard the phrase, you can't put a square peg into a round hole. It's almost like we are all square pegs. And the second coming is like trying to put that square peg into the round hole. John's gospel says Jesus is the good shepherd, chapter 10, but he also says, "I am the gate, and through me all people must come to go to the Father." And so it is that our life about here on earth, and this is Catholic theology, as opposed to some Protestant faiths, is about being transformed into Christ's likeness. It's about like the square corners being rounded over time so that we can become united with Christ at the end of time and stand in his presence and enjoy that fullness and that vision of God. And transformation, I don't know about you, but my human experience is it takes time. And it's hard work. But we, and it's important to point out, don't do the work ourselves. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is likened to fire. And our purification or transformation is likened to like metal being purified in fire. But we, although we don't do the transformation, we must take the time and be open to that purifying fire. Because we can spend this very precious time in between the two comings and avoid it. And then at the end, it will be too much for us to handle. That kind of makes some sense. It's kind of Father Paul's crazy theology, but it's not really mine. It's my way of explaining the Catholic theology. But that we are about transformation, I'd like to quote some scripture. Because other Protestant faiths, again, sometimes say it's simply about being forgiven for our sins and professing faith in Christ Jesus, and we go to heaven. I think that's true. But also, our theology teaches us that all of our works have a place, an importance, and a role in the kingdom of God. And so our submission to this transformation affects our life, both here and hereafter. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "Do not model your behavior on the contemporary world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "All of us, with our unveiled faces," previous sentence he's saying that in Christ our faces have been unveiled so that we can see God, "all of us with our unveiled faces like mirrors reflecting the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the image of what we reflect in brighter and brighter glory." Life is a process of becoming more Christ-like. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 through 3, "My dear friends, we are already God's children, if we're baptized, but what we shall be in the future has not yet been revealed. We are well aware that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he really is." The beatific vision is to stand in the presence of God, but it requires a time of transformation. The time between the two comings that the Lord has given us is so that we can be saved, that we can all be saved, but that takes time. We must submit to the fires of that transforming love, the Holy Spirit, to become holier, our common call of holiness, being transformed into Christ's likeness. This Advent is a time of preparing for the coming of Christ at Christmas, but it's parallels to this life. Our entire life is Advent, preparing for the coming of Christ at the end of time or our death. And so how do we go about preparing and submitting to that fire, that transformative way? These are the standard spiritual practices that all of us really don't pay enough attention to, right? Our life is about growth and holiness, and it doesn't happen by magic. We have to spend time like an athlete, an artist, an author, working on that process of transformation. Some of the basic things: prayer is essential. Regular daily prayer. Receiving the sacraments, essential. But also in the prayer, in one of the sacraments, reconciliation, to examine our lives. Are we getting holier each and every day? Do we examine our motives by which we act, the things that we've done right or wrong? And not only examine them by our standards, but we must learn and be students of the Gospels, the teachings of the Church, and compare our life to Christ's life. We're always going to fall short, right? Christ is perfect. But we're called to slowly transform into Christ's likeness. And so we can't use that as an excuse. Oh, well, I'm not Christ. He was God. We're called to be like him. He's like us in all things. He became human so we humans can share in his divinity. And so when we recognize we fall short, we must make amends for it. Usually it's a lot of I'm sorry's to people. It's also recognizing where you've fallen short and confessing your sins to God or your shortcomings and asking for his help to do better. When we find vices within our lives, selfishness, attachments that are keeping us from God or from growing, it's an old-fashioned practice to do penance, to work against those vices, and to practice virtue. Again, to receive the sacraments, including Eucharist reconciliation, and to ask for God's grace to transform us. And then another one is to serve one another. It is in serving others, oftentimes, that we grow. Growth, actually, is another way to think of this. This really is all about human growth, but our growth as humans is meant to be spiritual also. And the way humans grow is in relationship with one another. And so God has given us some important relationships in our lives that can help us be transformed into a more loving person. And one of the most common ones is marriage. I've never been married, so I get to talk about this kind of stuff. But the theology is the two become one. Right? For two to become one, that means they're being changed, each of them, into something they would not have been alone. And that change becomes, if you submit in love to another person, ultimately a more loving, less selfish person. But it is in that commitment and that giving of oneself to another and hearing from the other our imperfections at times and the challenge to how we should grow, that we grow. Also in raising children. I hear many stories how that added responsibility is something that causes people to grow and become holier and less selfish. The other great transformation is patterned on marriage. That's why I bring it up. And that's our relationship with Christ. Just as two become one in marriage, our spiritual life is that we are united with Christ. In baptism, we give our life to him who's already given our life, his life to us. And the two become one. We become transformed into Christ-likeness. Christ, already perfect, doesn't change, but we change into his likeness. And a third transformation is the church in the world. It's so important part of our spiritual growth is to give ourselves to others, service of our neighbor, love of one another in all different ways, but not just always giving money and say, I help the poor, doing it directly. Not just only praying for others, but getting down and visiting them at their bedside or visiting them when they're lonely, working for justice. God gives us three great ways to be transformed: marriage, family, relationship with Christ, and our service in the world. Everything we do works for the good of those who love God. We're called to spend this precious time between the two comings, this Advent, to prepare ourselves by being transformed and to look at our lives. Are we spending enough time submitting to the disciplines and the ways God has given us to be transformed, to become more like Christ?